June 3rd, 10:47 a.m. Location, the State University Laboratory of Dr. Vivian Berger, age 27.
I'm going to have to let you go. That's how Principal Conklin put it. Cutbacks, he said. In today's economy, what's a single, unemployed, 40-ish English lit teacher with no kids supposed to do to keep a roof over her head and food on the table? Become a macabre investigator, of course. The spooky has always been a passion of mine, but I was surprised to learn how many people needed my kind of help and would pay good money for it. Do I get scared sometimes? Sure. That a girl has to make a living somehow.
Misfits Audio presents The Timeless Machine, Episode 3 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. The series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow.
Sit down, Millie. Sit down.
Thanks.
It's been a long time.
It certainly has. How's the newspaper business?
So-so. How's the macabre investigator job working out?
So-so, too.
Making a living?
Eking one out.
What would you say if I told you that I have a plan that could benefit us both financially?
Is it legal?
Of course it's legal.
Then I'd say you have my attention.
I don't know if you've been following the trials and tribulations of the newspaper biz lately.
I've heard that circulation is down.
You're right. Cost of newsprint keeps rising, and sales keep falling.
Are most people reading the news online?
That they are. And it costs plenty. Once we put up a paywall, just to break even, mind you, not to make a profit, and people screamed bloody murder. It's like they believe that everything on the net should be free. So, I've been thinking of ways to sell papers. That's where you come in.
Me?
How would you like to write a column for the Examiner?
I've never done anything like that.
With your teaching background, I think you'd be great at it.
I don't know.
We'd pay you, of course. I'm not sure how much we have to spend. I'll have to talk with the big boys, but you'll definitely be paid. We'll make it worth your while.
I don't know if I'd have the time.
It wouldn't be a daily column, Millie, not even a weekly one. To start, maybe bi-monthly.
I don't know how much of a draw I'd be.
Your column would be available only in hard copy. We'll promote the hell out of it. People love mysteries, especially real ones. I think they'll pay to follow the exploits of Millie Foster, macabre investigator.
You do?
Definitely. If it catches on, when it catches on. Maybe we could make it more frequent. That will sell papers and do both of our pocketbooks good.
There would be the problem of client confidentiality. Also, I've had some dry spells. I can't guarantee I'll always have something going on worth writing about.
If you happen to be in one of those dry spells, that's where I come in.
What do you mean?
As the Examiner's editor, I get a lot of emails and letters. Many of them pretty weird. For example, I got an email the other day from a woman who insisted that her tabby cat was the reincarnation of Winston Churchill.
I don't think I could do a whole column on that.
I wouldn't expect you to. I have someone else in mind.
Who?
So, you'll do it?
Try
one column. If you don't like doing it, I'll let you back out and you'll still get paid.
All right, I'm sold. Who's my first subject, Chief?
Dr. Vivian Berger over at State U.
What's up with her?
Well, if her letter is to be believed, and I'm sure it's partly a plea for publicity, she's invented a time machine.
Hey, she's a looker.
She is attractive.
She does things for a white lab coat that my doctor never could.
Woodrow.
Oops, I'm in trouble if you're calling me by my real name.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate to look at her resume first? It's very impressive.
I'm getting there. Yep, impressive. Check out all those degrees after her name. Yeah, it looks like alphabet soup.
Pretty good for a 27-year-old.
So what does Penny Gruber want you to do?
Go to State University and investigate Dr. Berger's time machine claim.
And if she's telling the truth?
I'm not sure, Woody. I'll have to wait and see.
Dr. Berger?
Doctor, this is Millie Foster.
Yes, Miss Foster. Penny Gruber phoned me earlier. I've been expecting your call.
I hope you haven't been waiting long.
Oh, no, not at all. And I've had plenty to keep me busy.
I understand that you've, created a time machine.
In a way. What I've invented is a timeless machine.
Is that anything like a time machine?
There are similarities, but mine is much better.
How?
For that information, you'll have to pay me a visit. Could you come today?
I could be there in about half an hour.
Wonderful! Go to the Science Department building and ask for me at the security desk. I'll come get you and show you the timeless machine in action.
Meeting Dr. Berger for the first time made me very glad that Woody wasn't with me. She was a petite woman with curly black hair that fell down to the middle of her back. And then there was that lab coat he was so fond of. With a handshake, she welcomed me to the university and escorted me to her office. She offered me a seat, and she sat down behind a large, well-worn desk. You certainly have piqued my curiosity, Dr. Berger.
I'm glad to hear that. And it's Vivian, please.
Millie.
I must admit, I have an ulterior motive for getting you here.
Really?
I do want to show you the timeless machine, but I'm also hoping to get the project some publicity.
Do you need money to continue your work?
No. The machine is operational, but it's very expensive to run.
Perhaps Penny can help.
Do you have time later for lunch in the cafeteria? On me?
Yes, thanks.
I'll answer any questions you have then. I'm sure you'll have some after you see what the machine can do.
Vivian unlocked a door in the corner of her office that led to her lab and motioned me over. The timeless machine was approximately 8 feet tall. It was shaped like a large capital C, with the open section facing outward. The bottom third of the machine was a complex array of lights, meters, and dials. Above that section, a pane of glass had been molded to create an enclosed chamber. It reminded me of my childhood hamster's habitrail set. In the center of the chamber was a lone folding chair. A maze of wires and cables emanated from one corner of the timeless machine and trailed to a large control panel, in front of which Vivian proudly stood. I don't know what I was expecting, but this thing is huge.
And heavy. The university had to shore up the floorboards, just to be safe.
Where's the entrance?
There is none.
How do you get inside?
You don't.
How can you go time traveling in a machine with no entrance?
That's where my creation differs from others. The timeless machine allows us to reach backwards in time, find someone, and bring them here. There. I've turned it on. It takes a little while to warm up.
How does it work?
Once the controls are properly set, the machine reaches back in time, finds anyone we desire, takes that person out of the past, and deposits the subject into the chamber.
That's incredible! Have you used it?
6 or 7 times. I've had to space out the jumps because of the cost of electricity to run the machine. Also, I'm doing extensive research to improve its capabilities.
What more do you want it to do?
Right now, I can only set it to go back in time to 1900. I'd like it to be able to go further. Also, I can only keep a subject in the chamber for about 3 minutes. After that, natural forces take over and send them back to their original time.
Can you speak with the people you bring back?
Yes.
But you can't touch them.
No, they're sealed in the chamber.
How do they fare with the time travel?
Rather well. At first, they seem a little disoriented by the journey, but they soon adjust.
Do they remember the trip after they return to their own time?
I'd be lying if I said I was certain, but I don't think so. I've called my paternal grandfather here twice. On his second journey, he seemed to have no memory of the first one.
Are you limited in who you can choose?
Given the correct information, the Timeless Machine can track down anyone. Of course, the subject must be deceased.
Why is that?
There's a theory that identical matter cannot occupy the same space at the same time. For instance, I couldn't set the machine to go back in time, retrieve a younger Millie Foster, and bring her here. To do so could invite catastrophe.
That makes perfect sense.
The chamber is hermetically sealed. All the necessary life support is pumped in before the subject appears, and for 60 seconds after their departure.
They can't come out of the machine?
Correct. To do so could upset the timeline.
The what?
The timeline. Some scientists believe that time is like a river, and that it gives an order to things. The timeline we are most familiar with is our own. 2010, 2011, 2012, etc.
There are other timelines?
In theory, there could be thousands. I don't know what would happen if a subject left the safety the chamber provides. When it's operating, the Timeless Machine expends a great deal of energy to keep the natural forces in balance.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. Some researchers think they should go back in time and intentionally change the past.
Wouldn't that be dangerous?
Very likely. Theoretically, if I went back in time and kept your parents from meeting so you were never born, the adult you would disappear from the present. The machine is ready. Who would you like to retrieve?
Me?
I promised you a demonstration. For you to truly appreciate the power of the Timeless Machine, the choice of a subject needs to be yours.
Okay.
Do you have someone in mind?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Where did they reside?
New Hampshire.
And here's our map. We press down on New Hampshire. What year?
Let's try 1970.
The subject's name?
Martha Foster. My grandmother. Hey, that's her on the screen.
We're ready. You're sure you want to do this?
Why wouldn't I?
Some people I've done this for have found the sight of their late relatives to be very emotional.
I'll be fine, thanks. It won't hurt her, right?
There is no pain. She's likely to be a bit frightened or disoriented when she arrives. Tell her who you are. Share some special memory that only the two of you could know. That should calm her. Would you like to do the honors?
With some trepidation, I press the button to activate the Timeless Machine. There was the hum of increased power, and the lights around the machine's base began blinking wildly. In less than a minute, the chamber filled with a thick mist. As the hum of the machine ebbed and the lights stopped blinking, the mist dissipated to reveal my Nana. It was unmistakably her. Her gray hair was pulled up into a bun, and her bifocal glasses hung from a chain around her neck. The sight of her brought a lump to my throat.
What is this? What am I doing here?
She's frightened. Reassure her.
Nana, it's me, Millie.
You're not my granddaughter.
I am, I swear.
She's 6 years old.
It's tough to explain, and we don't have much time. I grew up.
Nonsense.
Remember how you always called me baby girl?
Yes, but...
Daddy and I used to drive to your house every Sunday.
That's true.
The two of you would have coffee and cake in the kitchen and talk while I colored in the living room. You always had the radio on, country music. Later you'd give me some of your homemade molasses cookies with a big glass of milk.
It is you, but how?
There's no time to explain.
You need a haircut. Are you still afraid of haircuts?
I was never...
You certainly were. Your father and that poor hairdresser. What's her name?
Jessica.
Oh, the trouble you caused her.
I didn't like the little hairs falling on my neck.
If you wore the cape...
So you always told me. It made me feel cooped up.
Are you married? Any kids?
Not yet. What's that?
The bounce back alarm. I can't keep her here much longer. You have about 1 minute left.
Nana, I've got to go soon, but there's something I want to tell you.
Yes, dear?
I love you.
I love you, too.
I don't know if I would have made it through childhood without you around.
Oh, you're very sweet. I was only doing what any grandmother should do.
As my grandmother spoke her final word, her voice echoed several times and then faded to nothing. She slowly disappeared as the mist filled the chamber again. The machine's lights began blinking once more. The timeless machine's hum faded, the mist cleared, and the lights went dim. The chamber was empty. It was as if Nana had never been here. After all you've done, I wish you would have let me pay.
Certainly not. I promised you lunch.
I must say, that was incredible.
I'm glad you got to see your grandmother one more time.
I think it would be best for the article if I got some more background information on you and the machine.
Well, I'm an associate professor in the science department. I've been working on the timeless machine for several years at this and a couple of other universities.
Where were you born?
In Israel. My father landed a job in the States when I was 9, so we moved to New England. My father, my mother, my brother, myself, and my surviving grandparents.
Some of them had died?
My mother's parents died at Dachau.
I'm so sorry.
I feel that I carry their spirits with me every day.
You said your machine is very expensive to operate.
It certainly is.
Does that mean you're open to financial backers?
Yes, it does. I thought of doing a Kickstarter, but I simply don't have the time. The funds would come in handy, for example, for the history department's request.
Historical research.
Exactly. With funding, I may be able to extend the machine's time grasp back to, say, 1700? We could talk with George Washington.
Fascinating.
It can currently only hold a subject for about 3 minutes. I need to work on that. I'd hate to have the chance to speak with the father of our country and have such limited time.
Vivian, how do you come to call your invention a timeless machine?
I can't take credit for that. I stole it from a colleague. The machine retrieved her grandfather for her. After their conversation, she said that her memories of him were timeless. It clicked with me somehow.
I'm telling you, Woody, it was amazing.
She appeared right there in the chamber?
She did, and just as I remembered her.
I did some research on the good doctor. She's received a lot of great press. A shining star in the scientific world. See, the best of America's new young scientists. A leader in the scientific community. You know, she even made the cover of Scientific Journal last year.
I have to go to a meeting with Penny about the column. I'll be back as soon as I can.
You're really going to do it?
She asked if I could start with a one-shot. I think Vivian's story will make a great column. Hopefully the paper's readers will like it and I'll do more. A little extra money coming in wouldn't hurt.
No argument here.
And the way I figure it, the column will benefit the business and the business will benefit the column.
Hello, Millie Foster's office. May I help you?
Can I speak with Miss Foster?
I'm afraid she's out of the office right now. Can I take a message?
No.
I'm sorry?
I understand that Miss Foster's made the acquaintance of Dr. Vivian Berger.
Where'd you hear that from?
I have my sources.
Who is this?
I can't say. What I can tell you is that I worked rather closely with Dr. Berger at one of her previous positions.
And?
How is she feeling?
feeling?
She had a bad nervous breakdown when we worked together. It was shortly after she assaulted a guest speaker, who was lecturing on how, he said, the Holocaust never happened. The university had to let her go.
You won't even tell me your name. Why should I believe you?
You don't have to believe me, but I trust you'll believe your own eyes. Give me your email address.
Why?
I'm going to send you a copy of an article about the doctor's breakdown in her odd, some said frightening at the time, behavior. I shouldn't be telling you any of this, but the consequences of inaction.
Consequences?
Don't try to track me down by the email address. As soon as I get confirmation you've received my message, I'm deleting the account. I trust you'll share this information with Miss Foster.
Of course.
She has much to do and no time to waste.
I don't have anything to tell you. I haven't even reached Penny's office yet.
Boss, we have a problem.
What do you mean?
A little while ago, I got an anonymous call. Someone who said he had dirt on Vivian Berger.
He wouldn't give you his name?
No, but he did send me an article about Dr. Berger from a few years ago.
What did it say?
It looks like she might not have the best of intentions for her timeless machine. Some old co-workers accused her of trying to change history.
How?
The article didn't say exactly, but it had something to do with Germany's World War II concentration camps.
A frightening thought came to me. Hoping I was wrong, I dashed off to the university.
Millie! Millie!
Remembering me from before, the security guard waved me on. I ran to Vivian's office. The door was unlocked. The door to the lab was locked. I called and called for Vivian, but there was no answer. I threw myself against the lab door until it broke open, and I fell onto the lab floor.
Millie, what are you doing here?
I've come to stop you.
From doing what?
Don't play dumb with me. I can see the control panel screen from here. Germany, 1942.
I was retrieving my grandmother.
That's not her picture. Why would you want to bring him here?
To kill him.
You can't. The timeline. You'll be changing history.
That's my plan. My grandparents deserve to live again.
Put that thing down.
Not until the job is done.
What are you going to do? Shoot him through the chamber glass?
Precisely.
But the natural forces the machine keeps in place. If you damage it, there's no telling what might happen. You'll ruin the timeline. Or worse.
The hell with the timeline? 6 million people, Millie. 6 million! Two of them, my grandparents! All of those people could live again!
Your grandparents would be dead by now.
True, but this way, I would have known them. Please don't try to stop me. I don't want to hurt you. I'm going to do this.
No, Vivian. Vivian slammed the timeless machine's activation button with her fist. The chamber filled with mist. When it dissipated, I saw him. He was standing, and I could just see the top of his jackboots. His uniform was festooned with medals and a swastika armband. His hair was combed forward, and the little mustache under his nose twitched. Adolf Hitler.
What is this? What am I doing here?
I brought you here.
A woman?
That's right.
Ridiculous. It's a trick.
You're wrong, Adolf.
You will address me as your Führer.
No, I won't.
You dare to defy me?
You're not my anything.
Release me. I demand it.
You're not in a position to demand anything.
Vivian.
The woman has a weapon. What is your plan?
To kill you. And set things right!
I grabbed the hand Vivian's gun was in.
Get off me!
Pointed the weapon at the ceiling and fired all the bullets as quickly as I could.
Let me go!
I wrested the empty gun from her hand and threw it to the floor.
No!
I got Vivian under control just in time for the two of us to see Hitler disappear into the mist. University security heard the gunshots and were at the lab in short order. They started taking a very angry Vivian away.
You stop me, Millie! The world could have been such a better place! 6 million people! Do you know what the sacrifice of one horrible man could have done?
No, Vivian, I don't. And neither do you. State University's dean assures me that Vivian will receive the very best of care for as long as necessary. He has put the Timeless Machine Project into indefinite lockdown. Much to Penny's dismay, the feds put the kibosh on the story, so my debut as a columnist for The Examiner will have to wait a while longer.
You have been listening to The Timeless Machine, Episode 3 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. The series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow. Guest starring in this episode in order of appearance were Michelle Deco as Dr. Vivian Berger, Elise Krawick as Penny Gruber, Julie Bruno as Martha Foster, Steve White as The Caller, and Joe Stofko as Adolf Hitler. The series was created, produced, and written by Mike Murphy. Assistant producer and webmaster, Captain John Tadrzak. Post-production was accomplished by Jake Luzzi. Music for the series was composed and performed by John Carl Toth. It is copyright 2015 and is used with his permission. To hear more of his music, please visit his website at johnnytoth.wix.com/music. Script editor, Arlene Osborne. Art director, Alexa Chipman. This production is copyright 2015 by Misfits Audio and is intended for enjoyment purposes only. All the characters portrayed in this series are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Please visit us on the web at misfitsaudio.com and on Facebook. This is your narrator, Fran McClellan, speaking.